CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, baby. Are you getting that Friday feeling yet? Are you getting it already? I hope you are, because if you're not, you better know that it's 20 to something. This is 20 something on CliffCentral.com. The name is Nell Van Given, and the other immaculate voice that you'll be hearing and hanging out with today, the very raunchy sounding, the very seductive sounding. It's going to sound like early morning, but we're trying to wake, well, it's going to wake up men, even though we're attempting to wake up women today. The other voice is Londi Sam.
Saying they'll be woke.
They'll be woke.
Hi, everybody.
Ooh, this is going to be fun for a lot of people.
Oh. Okay.
You know, it's one thing listening to you ear to ear, but hearing you through the speakers, through the microphone, through these headphones, actually. Babe.
I'm glad you feel that way. I was about to apologize for sounding a little bit off.
Yeah.
But hopefully everyone is going to feel the way you do.
Do you know what you need? You need that Trevor remedy that he was having in one of his stand-ups,
Yes.
One of his hour-long stand-ups.
Yeah.
That lemon and honey
and
ginger
and
what?
Hot water and all that,
Let me let you in on a bit of a secret, or let me reveal something to you. Londi has not been speaking the whole week. So not only do I not know what happened to her voice ever since the past week, I don't know how it happened. I haven't gotten the gist. I haven't gotten the juice of how we are where we find ourselves right now.
So
are you going to tell the story?
There's nothing really much to tell.
So yeah.
Basically, I just woke up one morning. I wasn't feeling okay. I just felt a little bit under the weather. And it went on. I'm like, okay, I'm really not okay. And I just was there, half dead.
It's always so exciting for me when women have...
But I've got my meds. They're sorting me out. Yeah, I just need to get more.
Let me just say, I love it. I don't understand it, but I definitely love it. Just like something else that we'll be talking about today, something else that I don't completely understand, but I fully love. We'll be talking women. You better know. If you didn't know already, if you didn't see on JNNG_live, Linda Yende is with us, everybody. He's acting 20-something with us. Yeah, all right. So you know it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time. He's the author of the book Wake Up Women. But we're going to start with his tweets and other things in between. Just, you know, build this conversation like a fondue cake. It's going to be nice. It's going to be very, very yummy. You might want to get in touch with us on our WhatsApp. We were asked if we know it. Let me see if I remember it in this moment that I'm in right now.
All I know is start with the
079. Hit us up on WhatsApp, 079, as Londi said, 7482090. So that's WhatsApp, okay?
Apparently, we're supposed to sing it at some point.
Yeah. Like it's your crush's number, not
homework.
Boyfriend.
Homework. Speaking of homework, I came across an interesting article.
Mm-hmm.
There's a school in Sussex.
Sussex,
yeah,
daddy,
Sussex.
Yes,
yeah, daddy. It's a country. Is it a country? It's a state.
No,
in
well,
England?
They don't call it states. It's a region in England. Let's go with region.
England.
There
we
go.
It's the name of that school. It's Blightington Mill. School. They're planning on starting school an hour late because pupils are struggling to wake up in the morning. So instead of 8:25, they're going to start at 9:25. They feel like that 1 hour is very much needed, so that the kids will be productive during the day at school.
I can see. Well, okay, it's always cold over there, but I can see how that would be beneficial, especially during winter. I would have loved that during my schooling years during winter, because you wake up earlier than you. Extra early, so 5 o'clock you're awake, or 5:30 you're awake, and by 6:30-ish, depending on how far your school is, you're already there, and you're standing in the corridors, and it is
cold as fuck. Yeah,
you barely have balls. You barely have a penis, actually.
They turn blue.
You're standing there like, wow, I'm here already.
Exactly.
So either that, or allow the charlie at school. You know, come with your charlie there, so you can be warm. That's cool.
I thought it was interesting, weirdly interesting.
Yeah.
That is, but I mean, if we're talking about like 9-year-olds and 12-year-olds, I mean, come on, it makes sense.
Would you want that?
For my child, yeah.
No, not for you. Not for your child. Screw your kids. But for you, would you ever want that?
Yeah.
Obviously, they'd want
of
that.
Of course. Of course. I would have. Because especially my high school years, I was taken away from these fancy schools. And so, okay, fine. High school, go to Okas, you know.
Yeah.
And it was really hard because I went to a very strict high school. We had a study session from 6:30 till 7:30, then assembly every single day.
Wow.
Metrics, the study session starts at 6 a.m. that is. So you can only imagine in winter.
Yeah, that schedule, how that gets for you.
Yeah, by 6:30 you have to be in class sitting in front of your books, finishing your homeworks and studying and whatever, preparing for the day. So
sounds like
I would have loved
it, it sounds like so much fun. Yeah.
And don't think you're going to leave at 3 o'clock and 3 o'clock going home. No, there's another 1 hour study session after school.
You guys are busy cuddling there after school under the trees.
Not even.
No, okay.
Not even.
Right. Maybe it was just me then. Maybe it was just
probably you. Probably. I was a late bloomer. So I wouldn't know. Very late bloomer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you might want to hit us up on WhatsApp because I want to know also from all of you. I think we've all at some point helped a friend move out of their dwelling, whether it be a complex, whether it be an apartment, whether it be their home or whatever the case may be. It's one of those things that is in the friendship contract, but you don't get told about.
Of course.
Like one day you're going to have to carry my furniture up and down the stairs and nearly die.
Yeah.
So
it's that, called friendship.
Yeah, well, that was my adventure this week. Going up and downstairs carrying fridges and couches. And
how was it though?
At some point, look, I'm a skinny man, okay?
You're a skinny motherfucker.
Look at those arms right there. Skinny nigga, but my dick.
Too much information there, bro.
At some point, my arms were going numb. I couldn't feel.
Yeah.
My arms. It felt as though they just stopped working. I was that tired. I was just that.
So your, the word? I don't want to use the word strongness was tested.
Yeah, my strength.
Yeah,
my
your strength. Your strength was very much, was very much tested. So, I would have loved to see that. Unfortunately, I was just a couch potato the whole time.
Well, speaking of seeing it, there were people that were actually there that saw it. Other black men. Older generation of black men.
Yeah.
And you know, older generations of black men have these shitty comments that they make. So I've learned this week that being a young black or being a black man, being a strong black man or how strong you are is associated with if you eat bap. Whether or not you eat bap determines how strong you are.
You have to be strong.
Because it is our staple food. It's what we have. You can eat it with virtually anything or by itself. Yeah. Right? So we were there we are doing our thing. So I need to rest now and then. And we're getting comments like, we see you. You eat
look
rice.
At the CC.
Look at you. You're
I'm
so
getting
weak.
All those comments calling you a sissy and stuff. Wow.
So I'm standing there thinking to myself, okay, so if black or blackness or black men strength is associated with eating pap, what are Caucasians associated with? Where do they get their strength? What gives them their power?
Salads.
Oh, wow.
What? I mean,
because like bap for us is the cure for everything. It's like, you're single, eat bap. Yeah. That'll help you.
Yeah.
You broke, eat bap or whatever.
I mean, it's not only in men. I mean, even if you're a woman, if you don't know how to cook bap, then there's something wrong with you. What kind of a woman are you? You can't cook bap. Like, can we just be left alone and be allowed to do what we can do?
Yeah. I know a female out there that can cook pap, no?
Yeah.
But the next day it goes off somehow.
Like, okay, if what does she do to it?
I don't know, man. I wish I knew, okay? Something that I saw that's quite freaky this week as well. Have you seen the human flesh jacket?
There. No.
Where is that picture? I need you to see the pictures. So, okay, let's do this over here. So you can see. So it goes for about 16,000 rands.
Wait, guys.
Obviously, it's an American design because us, we're not there. We're not that extreme as of yet.
No.
So it's an American design by a pair of designers that have custom made or built or created, stitched this jacket together. So I want you to see. It's made of. It looks like human flesh. Like it looks like pieces.
I wonder
of
what
human
kind of
faces.
Fabric they used for that. Actually, okay.
this thing is.
Because that must be.
It's weird.
Isn't it scary?
It's
right creepy. That's very creepy.
So is that something that you would?
Not even.
You would get?
Not even.
No human flesh. For
I can't stand horror movies. How am I supposed to see that on my closet every single day?
So they put that together, and for those of people who want to, I suppose, buy it, you can get it. So it's pieces of human faces stuck together. So they used, what is it, silicone and latex. So they sewed.
Yeah.
Thank you. See? Dapper man in the building. Mm-hmm. We get to him just
now. Yeah.
So they sewed that together, and it looks absolutely scary. But it would work for Halloween, I suppose.
It's creepy. For the Americans, we go back to that again.
It makes you wonder, where does cut off foreskin go? I need to stop with this penis conversation.
Wow.
I need to actually slow
where
down.
Does it go, really? That's a very good question.
Don't take your mind there. Don't do it. Okay, so. Oh, okay, wait.
Chewing gum.
Let me turn him on right then. Chewing gum. Where does it go, Linda?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, my goodness. So disgusting. Much pun here.
That's just disgusting.
So we're going to get out of this.
Another news. Okay, maybe we should actually leave it there.
Yeah, let's just leave it there. And let's not intro him like that. His name made me, or reminded me of this clip that made rounds a couple of years ago. I wonder if he's ever been introduced like this. I wonder. So let's see. Let me just find the right place so that it starts properly. It's that 3-year-old talking to his mother, going on about Linda. It's Linda, honey. So I'm bringing that back for you. Here we go.
But you cannot. No,
Linda, I'm. Lick it.
You're not listening to me.
Linda,
listen to me now.
Listen to me now.
No, you're not listening. I said no cupcakes.
So welcome, Linda Yende.
Linda, honey. Linda, what's up, guys?
Listen,
how you doing?
Linda, listen.
Oh, man.
Huh. What an intro, hey?
I've been itching to get into this conversation. Like, everything you're talking about, I'm like, I want to say something. I want to say something.
That's what we want. That's what we want right there.
Oh, man. Are you guys good, though?
We're great.
Awesome, man. It's good to be here. Finally, Cliff Central invites me. What is wrong with you people? I've been waiting.
Wow.
Well, yes.
I've been to every single radio station, literally, in the country, except you guys.
Wow.
Oh.
So I suppose
I've
this
even
is
been to campus radio stations.
Is it?
Not Cliff Central.
This is a monumental moment, then. Yeah.
I'm finally here.
Hence the introduction.
I'm finally
right?
here, man. Mm. I'm finally here. It's good to be here.
Thank you for not saying screw the invites, you know, seeing as how.
Oh, hell
late
no.
It's
I'm not going to cut off the nose to spite the face. I'm not that guy.
Okay.
I'm not that guy. I'm happy to be here. I was happy to get the invite, and yeah, man.
This is a no-nonsense sort of, no-nonsense show. We are, and as a whole, a no-nonsense factory that is Cliff Central.
Yeah.
So I knew nothing about you. I didn't know you, I didn't know you at all.
Yeah.
I suppose same goes for you.
Yeah.
And then we talked about, okay, yeah, we're going to get Linda Yende. I was like, okay. So I looked you up, and I said, oh, author, right, Wake Up Women, right, very cool. So I let that rest, and we were told that you came here actually the other week.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
A week and a bit ago. Yeah. About a week ago.
Yep.
A week ago, I landed here. I don't know why. I got my dates all messed up.
So building up to the conversation and preparing to obviously have a chat with you and to be able to converse with you for this hour, I got to obviously stalking you and researching you and looking at you and stalking your tweets and stalking your Instagram and all of these things. Mm-hmm. And it made me very excited to actually sit down so that we could have this conversation. So I'm very excited as well.
Nice.
I've been excited for your face throughout the week, actually.
Very, very excited. You've been really? You've been excited for my face.
I've been excited,
man.
That's the first thing he noticed when you walked in, like, I like your beard.
Yeah.
Who said
this is true?
He to you.
Yeah. He said, "What are you?"
Okay, I said, "I like your fro."
Fro.
Yeah. Oh, fro. And you said something about the beard.
We went to the follicle appreciation thing.
Gosh.
There you go.
It is what it is. See, if I could see your hair, then I'd say something about it too.
It's cute. That's all you
it
need
is
to
cute.
Know.
She's
it's
a Uncle Nunes.
I've got cute hair.
All right. Well, I'm gonna have to take your word for it.
Yeah,
Uncle L.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm on your Twitter right now, and I want to discuss a couple of your tweets. This is not like the Twitter inquiry of Linda.
Here we go.
That's not what it, because I saw that you are a very humorous guy. Like, you're a very vibrant, bubbly person.
Yeah,
well, I'm an idiot.
And vicious at times.
I'm an idiot.
And very vicious.
You know what?
I
speak my mind, and sometimes I have no mind, so I just speak. Which is not great, but yeah, I mean, I speak whatever comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm unscripted, just like Cliff Central. You
so
know what I mean?
You live, man.
I live
without borders.
Oh, hell yeah! No, I refuse to have any kind of regrets in life. So I do what I feel like doing, and I say what I'm going to say.
Has that always been your mantra?
Kind of has. Look, I'm going to be honest. It was a gradual process, because I used to be that guy that cares about people's opinions. I used to care about people liking me.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But gradually I got out of that, because I realized that, you know what? You can never please everybody. You really cannot.
Yeah.
You can't please everybody. So at some point, you know what? Fuck it.
Did you get to an age where... Well, because I mean, I know the older you get, the more liberal you get.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was always
easier. I was always
open-minded.
Yeah.
If you know, I mean, if we're talking liberal, I was always very open-minded. I mean, I was. I think. I reckon from sort of varsity days, my mind really just sort of went wide. You know, I used to listen to hip hop. I've always been a hip hop lover, and you'll be amazed. I mean, people look down on hip hop as a genre, but geez, man, that it'll really broaden your horizons.
It's
because
full of intellect.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because they're very smart people out there who you listen to them, and it's entertaining while you're listening to them. And you know, it kind of they question the status quo. They've always questioned the status quo. Hip hop artists that I'm talking about, and I mean, I was listening to gangster rap. I was listening to N.W.A. and I was listening to Pac, you know, way back in the day. And for me, that kind of shaped who I eventually became, I think, in many ways. I just became that guy that said, you know what, fuck it.
I think we struggle with that.
Yeah.
You talked about
we do
people liking you. And I think of our kids, especially the younger generations, where they don't know how to handle their circles or people within their environment not liking them or gossiping about them or speaking certain ways about them. So you're always sort of looking for approval from your peers.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to break out of that and just say, okay, but I'm living for me. Why?
Precisely.
Does it matter?
This is my life.
It takes a very long time to get to that point. And I can attest to that.
Yeah.
For the longest time, I've always been that person who is, no, I don't want to do this, because what are people going to say if this happens, if I do this event? And eventually I got to a point where I'm like, no, man, this is my life. I'm not leaving.
You're like 15. I mean,
what?
Oh my word!
There's that gentleman.
That's another compliment. Thank you very much. Thank you for saying I look 15.
You look the same age as my daughter. I mean,
wow.
For real.
Not even.
Okay.
Not even.
All right.
Let's get to these tweets then.
Yeah,
right?
Man. Oh boy.
You speak on women. You speak, I suppose. Can I say on behalf of women?
No.
As
I
part
dare
of
not.
Their conversation.
How dare I?
Are you
no,
part
no,
of,
no,
yeah?
No. I'd never speak on behalf of anybody. I refuse to speak. I don't even speak on behalf of men. Do you know what I mean? I speak on behalf of me. But I make my observations based on my interactions with women. You know, I mean, the interesting thing about my book, a lot of people have kind of said, you know, but where do you get all this? I've lived, man. I've had a hell of a life. And many times, the guy that you hear me speaking about in the book, I was that guy. So I know what I'm talking about. I'm not thumb sucking it, and I'm not standing on a pulpit trying to sound like I'm holier than thou, or anything like that. I'm that guy. I've been that guy who did that crap. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah. So I'm definitely I'm definitely not in a place to be speaking on behalf of anybody, but myself.
I love that you talked about Pac and NWA. I saw a tweet yesterday. Yeah. Someone said, a lot of you a lot of your, well, a lot of this generation or recent generation's first hip hop albums were Drake's album. Yeah. And now they want to have an opinion on hip hop.
On hip hop. Get out of here.
That's very cool.
Get out of here with that.
You're
you
caught.
Know? Seriously, I mean, if you've never listened to Kool Moe Dee, you've never listened to Big Daddy Kane,
yeah.
Don't know who Public Enemy is. The only time you heard about Flavor Flav was in Flavor of Love. Get out of here. Get out of here. Seriously. I've got nothing to I don't want to talk to you.
Uncle L is about to whip these kids, man. He's about to be that guy. He's
about to school.
I'm an OG, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm an OG. My first hip-hop album was in 1985. Ooh. 1985. I bought Rapper's Delight.
Steve, clueless,
okay.
Me, yeah, just no. God.
Did I just yeah. talk over your head? The Sugar Hill Gang, the first ever. I said a hip, a hop, a hip, a hop, you don't stop it, rock it till the rhythm of a boogity beat.
Yeah? Now you go.
Now what you hear is not a test. Guys, you don't understand. That's the history of hip-hop.
And then they're going to come and talk about
you want to talk
Mill and Drake.
Talk to me about Meek Mill. You want to? Oh no, man! Please get out of here with that.
Okay.
Is it sad that? Okay, you know what? Let's leave this. This hip hop conversation is not gonna end.
Yeah, this one's
because this
tweet's
very interesting.
Too deep. So you like I said, you make your observations, and some of them are on Twitter.
Yeah.
Another form of writing, I suppose.
Of course. Yeah.
where is that one? No. I feel like, there we go.
Oh,
the one
boy.
That's big. So I want you to just sort of, no, not really explain, but observe further, because you can only type so much in 140
characters. Yeah. That's it. You're limited.
If she says, all the good ones really are taken, you're in trouble. Run.
I was hoping you'd start with the other one.
Really?
What? That's not, which
I was
okay,
hoping you'd start. If he
let's
says, hello, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble. Run. Run.
Like,
okay.
That's
okay.
Where it all right. Starts.
Okay. All right.
Hello.
All right.
Okay, all right, okay, guys, I need to give some context on this one.
Please.
All right, so I'm sitting there, I've been through several gin tonic and limes.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
all right, and I'm just like, you know what, I'm gonna stir.
Yeah,
I'm gonna stir a little bit. And I'm gonna talk about the fact that there's a lot of things that women say when they're not trying to be outright sort of say, listen, I'm interested in you.
I want you, yeah.
Yeah, mm. She's not going to say, I want you. Mm. But she's going to come over and she'll just be like, oh man, your girl is so lucky. Oh, hello. I know what that means.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Oh, do you have a brother?
Yeah.
Who's just like you?
Yeah.
You know, and there's a whole bunch of those. So as they came to my mind, I sort of typed them out. But yes.
Women are so sneaky.
The truth is,
what?
No, but look, hey, this is why I had to go to the last one where I say, okay, but don't forget, all right, we are just as bad as men.
Yep.
All right. We will say something like, oh, won't my man get mad at you if I talk to you? You're trying to find out whether she has a man or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the truth. You know, we do things like that. So, look, all I was saying with that last one was, honestly, if you are not looking to be hit on, the moment a guy says hello, chances are he's about to hit on you.
Yeah.
You know, that's the reality. But, I mean, look, I'm saying all of this very tongue-in-cheek, you know, and if somebody's going to take that literally, then, you know, you've got problems. I was being very facetious, but there's truth to it. There's a lot of truth to what I'm
there
saying,
is,
yeah?
Actually.
I'm saying, you know, more often than not, the moment a guy even makes an attempt to be nice to you, it's because he's trying to come close to you. He's trying to hook up with you. And there's a very funny bit that, excuse me, Chris Rock does, where he says, you know, I mean, if he opens the door for you, he's offering you dick. If he does this, he's, do you know what I mean? Like, women get offered penis on a daily basis.
On a daily basis, that's true.
Every single day of your life, you're getting an offer of penis. Mm. So I'm very surprised when I hear women say, oh, well, I haven't been laid in a year. I'm like, what? What?
It boils down to a personal choice.
No. I'm not even talking about those. I'm talking about the kind that say, you know, the drought is killing me.
Like, guys are not coming
it's not
up
happening.
To her.
And I go, really? Because honestly, I mean, I can understand when somebody's decided, you know what, I'm going to wait for, you know,
for
the
X,
right
Y, and Z.
One.
Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. I'm gonna wait for the guy to tick all the boxes before I allow him to tick anything on me type of thing. And that's cool. It's a personal decision and it's great. But when somebody turns around and says, listen, you have I've been hoping to get some. It's been a year. It's been 6 months. It's been whatever. Listen, you're a lady. You're a woman. You how?
Wait, when you make sneaky comments like that, when you're not direct with your approach, for me, I feel as though that's when you really like someone and you're not trying to just get into their pants, because you're trying to extend the conversation beyond what we could just do in one night.
True. You'd be surprised.
True. Well, okay. Yeah. Oh, well. Hello now.
It's down in the DM sometimes. Yeah. Okay.
It's going down in the DM. Yeah. You're so right, though. You're so right. Ultimately, there's a lot that can happen.
Yeah.
There's so much that can happen. I mean, there's something I very rarely talk about, because I think it's one of those that kind of opens up a can of worms. And that's the story of, sex on the first date. Mm-hmm. The concept of sex on the first date. A lot of women are afraid to do that because they're thinking, well, you know, once you've done that, then he's gonna think you loose.
She probably does this every
seriously.
Time.
Yeah. She probably does this every time. You know what? That's an insecure nigga that's gonna do that. Only an insecure nigga, because I, as a guy that's secure in his masculinity and all that, I'm gonna take it as a compliment and think, well, she saw something in me that said, shit, I'm not waiting any longer. I'm giving it up today. Because he's a great guy and whatever.
Woo.
But if a guy's got a low self-esteem, then he's gonna think he's no better than anybody else, meaning you do this with everybody else.
Mm.
Big difference. Mm. So, listen, if you want to give it up on the first date, go right ahead. Nothing wrong with that.
Do your thing, girl.
Do your thing, girl.
Let nature be nature.
Hell yeah.
Let nature be
nature.
Hell
yeah.
And if you meet the right guy, he's going to respect you for that.
Mm.
He's going to respect you for being comfortable enough in yourself.
Mm. Contrary to popular belief.
Contrary to popular belief.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes days later or months later into the relationship or years later, you're like, you know, I actually wanted you on the first night.
I wasn't about to because
I'm not that kind of girl.
Oh, man.
Another thing that's difficult to talk about is happiness or having money. I'm looking at one of your tweets again here, where you talk about people are not, well, no, not the bro, not the not being broke one. The other one about not being able to talk about your success, essentially.
Yeah. Look, we've become a very what's the word? Jaded.
Mm.
We've become a very jaded society.
Yeah.
You know, every time people talk about their relationships, they talk about how crappy they are.
Mm.
They talk about how bad things are. They're talking about, you know, the crappy thing that he did to her last night, and not in a good way. You know, he, there's all these things, this negative commentary. So people have kind of grown to expect nothing but negativity when you talk about relationships. The same goes for financial situations. Nowadays, when people talk about their financial situation, they're talking about, oh, que January, things are bad, I'm broke, debit orders, this and that, do you know what I mean? To the point where if you do the opposite of that, people look at you kind of sideways.
Mm.
If you say, geez, man, I'm happy. You know, my life is awesome. I love my woman. I love my wife. I love my man. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
People look at you like, yeah, right. What are you hiding? Is he beating you up? Just blink twice if he's holding you hostage or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Nobody expects the good to be spoken about anymore.
Mm.
And the same goes for your financial situation. If you say, geez, man, things are good. I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm taken care of. I'm good. I'm really doing okay. And you're not bragging. You're not one of those people that's talking about a blesser that you have or some crap like that. But you're just saying, you know, the economy was good for me. The year was good for me last year. Things went really well. People look at you like you've grown a horn in the middle of your forehead. Like, really?
Why are you throwing this in our faces?
How?
Yeah.
Like, as if you're doing it at their expense.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, people need to kind of learn to shift their mindset from jealousy to envy. Because there's a big difference.
Yeah.
When you're jealous, you're kind of treating it as if this person has what they have at your expense. And they don't. They didn't take anything away from you in order to have what they have.
Mm.
So envy them. There's nothing wrong with envy.
At all.
Yeah.
Envy is all good.
That,
where you just say, you know what? I wish. I like what you have. I wish you had it. I envy you. But jealousy is like, why? Why do I have to treat you as if you came and robbed me in order to have what you have right now? There's nothing right about that.
I remember one of our iconic artists, Casper Nyovest.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking about, or when his Bentley got scratched or something.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at situations like that where people see your success and you're putting it out there and it's a good thing for you, so you feel like, let it flower.
Yeah.
Maybe someone else will catch it.
Will be inspired,
and
yeah.
And pull that in and be like, wow, absolutely. Look at what could happen.
Yeah.
And that's how we don't look at success in that way. We don't look at happiness in that way. You know, happiness is almost a palm tree to shade everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
I'm balling, I'm living well, yeah. And you, but it shouldn't be a comparison between me and you.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about me, I'm talking about my life. Mm. And I'm saying my life is great right now, I'm very happy.
I love that you talk about envy. I think that's one of the core secrets to successful familyship and friendship and kinship.
Absolutely.
I'm envious of my friends. Hell, I am bloody envious. I'm
really?
Like, look at where your lives are.
Yeah.
And look, I should be running at a faster pace than you even.
Mm.
That's what I want to do. Well, let's run at the same pace. Let's run together. And then, you know, let's see where we can take this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Let the envy build something for all of us.
For all of us.
There we go.
Yeah.
Because I'm not trying to take it away from you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do this
precisely.
Together. Yeah.
Precisely. And all that's happening is my seeing you achieve it says to me, it's achievable.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Yes.
Because the moment I'm able to see that, I'm inspired. And I say, geez, it's actually doable.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, if 5 years ago, your dream was, somebody's calling me. Are you being serious?
I don't know what's wrong with these people.
Linda's on CliffCentral.com.
I'm on Cliff Central. Come on.
Calm down.
Look, if somebody came to you 5 years ago and said, listen, you know, what's your ambition? You'd be like, listen, I just want to see myself making, you know, whatever, 50K a month. Hypothetically, you know, that was the dream then. And then you started hanging out with Touch and with Cliff, and they're making a million a month,
yeah.
Whatever, you know, I don't know what they're making,
yeah.
But do you know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, you start shifting your goals and you go, geez, it's doable.
Actually,
so
I can do better.
I can do this as well. Why is my ambition down here when it can be over there? And it's not because you're trying to compete with them.
Yeah.
You're just saying, I can see now that it's possible. So that's what I'm going to aspire for. My dreams are bigger.
Yeah. One of the things that scares me is, that stays with me a lot or moves my mind a lot.
Yeah.
It's things that have already been created. You know, you look at a place like Dubai or you see a gold Lamborghini or whatever.
Yeah,
if something already exists, someone else has built it.
Absolutely.
You can't create that. So it's like, what am I going to create? You know, what is your purpose? What are you going to create that is new to this world? What are you going to put out there?
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we should be doing, creating new things.
We should be leaving a legacy.
Exactly.
In some way or another, leave a legacy.
Let's talk about dreams. I had a conversation a while ago. A year ago or so, in Limpopo with Katlego Mabusela.
Yeah.
And he, at the time, it didn't really resonate properly with me. But, you know, as the months went on, I was like, oh, okay, that's what he was saying.
Yeah.
He said something along the lines of, the older people get, you know, we tell them that they can't dream anymore.
Yeah.
Like, we want to stop their dreams.
True.
And you tweeted, said, have you noticed how the phrase keep dreaming is used negatively and sarcastically?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with dreaming. Keep dreaming and dream big.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, every time you hear people talk about a dreamer, you often hear it being spoken in a negative way.
Yeah.
And definitely, if you say, you know, if you were to say to her, you know, I'm gonna hit that, and she says, dream on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's how the phrase dream on has become used in our culture. So if you say, I'm gonna, you know, get a mansion in Clifton.
Yeah.
And people go, well, yo, dream on. Trust me, they're not encouraging your dream when they say that.
Because they're looking at you now, but
they're
not
looking
you
at
then.
Yeah, precisely.
Yeah.
And they forget the fact that what we're seeing right now is the you that you built in the past. So the you that you aspire to in the future is being built right now. And it's being built on the back of the dreams that you're busy dreaming now. That's all you got to do. Be 10 years ahead in your mindset where you say, you know what? I know where I'm going to be. Yeah. I'm there already in my mind. But yeah, that's me and the power of dreams. I love
dreams. Yeah, I was about to ask, are you dreaming? Are you still dreaming?
Oh, all the time.
What's happening in your mind?
All the time. Listen, if you go to my Facebook, you'll get annoyed sometimes. Like on a daily basis, I'm putting up these beautiful mansions. And I mean, I live in a nice house. I love my house.
Yeah.
But the point is, I sit there and I say, you know what? This is not it for me. There's going to be more. And honestly, I've put up probably 100 different houses.
Mm.
And chances are, even if I get one of those houses, I'll still be wanting the other 99. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't just want a house in Joburg and Cape Town and Durban. But why can't I have a house in Dubai?
Why?
Why not? Why can't I have a house in Monaco? Why can't I move my money to Monaco? Because damn it, I'm tired of paying tax.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Why can't I move my money to Monaco?
Yeah.
So you've got to be that dreamer. And otherwise, the people who have all done it now, it all started as a dream for them as well. At some point, they were dreaming.
Mm.
But obviously, you've got to follow your dream up with some action. Without action, it's... well, it's kind of pointless.
Wah, wah, wah.
But there we go.
I haven't seen your house, but what I have seen is your wife, and she is a delectable, delicious being.
Gorgeous.
You have a gorgeous woman.
Yeah.
In
thank
your
you, life. Thank you, man.
Wow.
Look at him blushing.
Yeah, have you ever seen a black man blush? It's so
it's
bizarre.
So weird, eh?
It's so bizarre. Like I'm turning. I don't know what color I'm turning. Yeah.
What has she brought out of you?
Dude, don't get me started. We don't have enough time for that.
Okay, just a little
she,
bit.
Listen, this woman inspires me in ways that I can't even begin to explain.
Yeah.
She first of all, when I met her, I'd written my book to a large extent, but I just didn't believe enough in myself to bring the book out. That's the impact she had. She came along and it was just like, boom, I can do this. I know I can do this. She has made me believe in myself. The person that you see right now is to a large extent because of what she has brought to the table. and she's crazy. I love that. I love the fact that, you know, because I'm crazy. So sometimes it's a bit hard to kind of be with a normal person when you're crazy. You know, you want somebody who kind of makes you feel like your crazy is normal.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love that. She literally came along and just fit perfectly into my life, but at the same time, you know, made me want to be a better me. And that's a beautiful thing.
Mm.
It is.
Because you don't want somebody that's going to come along and treat you like a project and try to change you.
True.
And she wasn't doing that. She came along. And I mean, there's so many different aspects of this. From faith, from, you know, just aspiration, from dreaming, from whatever. She made that blossom, man.
Can you imagine what the wedding was like?
Ooh.
Yeah.
This is, he's just...
Those vows.
It was emotional. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, and I've never actually shared this bit. I forgot my vows. That's how emotional I was. I was standing there, and
is that even possible?
I totally forgot my vows, so I just winged it. I just spoke what I was, because I had sat there and thought about, you know, all that I want to say and whatever. I'm a speaker.
Yeah.
This is what I do.
You shouldn't suffer.
I don't need notes.
Struggle.
No. I don't need notes. I get there and we're standing there and she says her vows and I was just like, oh man.
It's your turn now.
It was just, I was just so emotional from what she was busy. She had just said to me that I just started like
freestyling, man.
I started freestyling, like, oh man.
Chocolate, lami, honey, water.
I never even told her this.
Now, I don't know what happened. I don't know if you got lazy or maybe you focused on other things or if you were trying to reshape it, perhaps.
Yeah.
I came across Team Wake Up. .blogspot.co.za where you put out a couple of posts and there's also an extract or what was it, chapter one, the intro, sorry, of your book,
of the book
Wake Up Woman,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What caught my eye especially is
this one about cheating, you know, building towards Valentine's and that, and boyfriends going missing and husbands not sleeping at home and such things.
Is that what caught your mind?
Well, hey, listen, in context.
I like what caught your mind. I'm going to come to that. We're going to come to that now. All right. Okay.
So that's what caught me, aside for the intro of the book as well.
Sure.
So in terms of cheating, in terms of why we let ourselves go in that way.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let me start with where you started this conversation, where you were saying you don't know what happened to the blog and whatever. Jeez. Look, I mean, I was giving away my content for free at that time, obviously. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A large part of my book, I literally gave away for free. But the moment the book started taking shape, I couldn't continue. Otherwise, I was going to put the whole book out in the blog and then nobody was going to bother buying the book. So at some point I had to just, it was a business decision, but also, I mean, let's keep it real. A lot of people, excuse me. I mean, I offered the ebook to people and people were like, no, I want the real thing. I want the real thing. And people have bought my book. I mean, I've been really, really blessed in that regard. People bought my book like mad and they still continue to buy it. I mean, it's been 3 years and a bit now. And they're still buying my book. Anyway, back to the question of the cheating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why do men cheat? I should have called that title, Why Did I Cheat When I Used to Cheat? Because that was, you know, it was a moment of introspection for me where I had to sit down and say, you know, when you just sort of talk to the man in the mirror and you go, no matter why, why was I doing this? Do you know what I mean? And the answers that came to me more than anything were that I was just feeding my ego. I was just trying to kind of feel better about who I was or who I thought I was. I was trying to just kind of fill this void. I was trying to, and it had absolutely nothing to do with the woman that I was with.
Yeah.
And for me, if there's the main message that I want to come out of that chapter in particular, is for ladies to realize that actually, there's absolutely nothing you could have done to prevent this guy from cheating.
Yeah.
Because often, if a guy cheats on you, what do women do? She starts sort of thinking, oh, maybe if I was taller, maybe if I was shorter, maybe if I was thinner, maybe if I was thicker, maybe if I had ass, whatever, you know? And she starts going and whatever, going to the gym, trying to stretch herself, whatever. I don't know what it is that you're going to do to try and make yourself not short anymore. But do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All I'm trying to get across there is just understand that it's never about you. It's very rarely because of something that you did or didn't do, or something that you are that he wishes you weren't, or something that you aren't that he wishes you are. If you are a voluptuous woman, he's gonna cheat on you with a skinny woman, and vice versa. Whatever. It doesn't mean that he has a preference for skinny women. He's just getting some strange. He's getting something that he doesn't have at home or whatever.
Do you think it has anything to do with self-esteem?
Oh, yeah, big time. Big time. It's all about self-esteem, actually. Mm-hmm. He's just, because he's trying to feed this ego. He's trying to feed this thing that says to him, I am worthy of a woman pulling down her drawers for me.
Okay.
Because there's something that pops in your ego in that moment. In that moment when she says, yes, I will. You're thinking, yes, I am worthy. You know, it's a big moment. So, and it stops being enough once you've gotten into that cycle. You keep thinking, well, maybe this time was a fluke. Let me try again. Let me see if another one's going to let me hit that as well. And excuse me, you just keep on doing that and doing that and doing that. But it's never about the woman. It's never about the woman. It's, let me say, it's very rarely about the woman. It's very rarely about what you are doing or not doing. Look, yes.
Fundamentally.
Yes, look, I mean, there's the odd situation where, you know, you kind of decide, whatever, you know, you too tired, you too whatever.
You're trying to escape.
To pay attention, so you're out there just doing your thing, and it happens.
The question would be, why wouldn't you address the issue at hand, though?
Okay, first of all, We can never out-talk you guys. There's no way we can out-talk you guys. I could come to you right now with the "we need to talk," but by the end of the conversation, you are ahead because you've pointed out all the things that I'm doing wrong and my issue ends up not being addressed at all. Fact.
I see.
Am I right?
I guess it goes back. Okay, no, I get what you're saying.
And let's not forget the fact that more often than not, you guys have a far better memory than we do. So yeah, you're going to remind me of all the smack that I've done. You're going to remind me of every single...
Or didn't do.
And yeah, in the end, I'm going to walk away apologizing to you. Meanwhile, it was my issue that was being put on the table. Talking is hard. Okay. Talking to you people.
Now let's go to the extract that actually caught my attention.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a no, I was at some point laughing. Relationship appointment letter.
Yeah. I love that.
I loved that. I enjoyed reading this.
Yeah.
This was the best 3 minutes of my life.
Wow.
Like, it was, I was like, okay, no. We need to go back to the drawing board and restructure and redo our things.
Yeah.
Because this right here.
What prompted this? Hate this topic.
Before you carry on with your amazing conversation, let me just say on WhatsApp, someone says Linda is king. So you can
yes. Linda is king. All hail Linda.
Oh, thank you, King Linda. Who that?
So
who that?
What prompted you, Linda, to actually write this? What were you going through?
Okay, this one had nothing to do with... Look, most of the chapters in the book had nothing to do with me personally at the time. But obviously, I could sort of extract from past experience.
Yeah.
The one thing that I was always seeing over and over was that I'd have ladies come to me and say, "Oh my gosh, you know, he comes over and visits me, you know, twice a week or whatever. Do you think he likes me?
He calls me four times a day.
You know, but he's never actually said,
yeah,
you know, we're dating." There's a woman, I'll never forget this one. And this woman was adamant that this guy must really love her.
Yeah.
Because this guy used to go down on her.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, why are you looking for signs and signals that this person loves you or that this person wants a relationship with you or this or that? If he has not expressly said, "Listen, I would like you to be my girlfriend."
Earlier on, we were talking about this outside, and I'm saying what most women suffers from, it's the we fear so much that this guy is going to think I'm being forward.
Yeah.
This guy is going to think I'm trying to corner him into something that he's not ready for. Who is supposed to initiate the conversation?
Look, the truth is, we live in a patriarchal culture. There's no doubt about it. But having said that, all I'm going to say is, if you're a woman and you are ready, and you say, "You know what, I want to do this," then by all means, do it. Initiate the conversation yourself. Even tell them that what it is that you actually want and what it is that you're looking for. But this comes with a big but.
Yeah.
The big but is, not big but, big but.
Big but.
My anaconda don't.
Yeah.
You had to take it there.
Yeah, well, the big but is this. Do not... when you go in there, expect the possibility of a no.
Expect the possibility of
rejection. We are used to rejection. We've been getting rejected from the age of 13. From the moment we hit our teens, we've been trying to get with you guys.
Yeah.
And you all have been saying no. And occasionally one will say yes. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We are used to that. That's just how we've all become.
Yeah.
So for you who isn't accustomed to that, you're used to being the one that says no, and then occasionally yes. You can't handle a no.
Maybe that's the reason why most women hurt easily. Well, because of
they haven't been equipped.
Yeah,
they haven't been equipped for the rejection. So all I'm saying is prepare yourself for the rejection if you're going to go all feminist and go for it. Because there's nothing wrong with that. Mm. There's absolutely nothing wrong with taking the bull by the horn and saying, listen, I want you.
But when?
Liberate yourself. When?
What's going on?
When you're ready.
I feel like you must have a one-on-one with Dr.
Anyway,
Linda.
No, it's okay.
When you're ready.
No, it's okay. The thing is, we were talking about this not so long ago. Like, why can't we adults?
Yeah.
When a guy approaches me, why can't he just be honest enough and tell me what is it that he wants from me?
Can I tell you why?
Yeah.
Let me tell you why. Are you ready for the answer, though?
Here's
the problem. You've got to remember that 9 times out of 10, most ladies actually want you to lie to them.
I don't want anyone to lie to me.
9 times out of 10. No lady wants you to just walk up to her and say, hey, how you doing? I'd really love to hit that.
If it's good, we'll
have a discussion.
And but let me decide on my own whether you, I want you, that of, or not.
You're the 1 in 10. You're the 1 in 10. I see it all the time. A lady comes along, puts a thing on her Facebook, says, this guy Marwan Tell, who does he think he is? He just walks up to me and says, he'd love to hit that.
True.
She feels very disrespected for you telling her the truth. She would rather you walk up and say, hi, how you doing? I'd like to get to know you. You're a beautiful woman. You've got beautiful eyes. Ooh, we don't notice
well,
eyes.
Get out of here. What is it that you want from me? And stop. And don't string me along.
The problem is you don't come with a sign on your forehead that says you are the 1 in 10.
It is intense.
Am I right?
It is very intense.
You are not the 1 in 10. You are the 1 in 10, but there's no sign that says that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm the 1 in 10, so approach me like this.
Approach me differently.
Yeah. On Twitter, @KC_C says, this interview, though, with Linda Yende, inspiration galore.
Oh, thank you, KC.
I want to play with your mind, Linda.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Face, your mind, everything. I just want to play.
Whoa.
So, because you are a great writer, you know, you know how to connect your reader to what you were saying.
Yeah, I'm not a great writer, actually. I'm not.
You're a great storyteller.
I don't even think so.
This guy.
I don't even think so.
Okay, let's test it. Can we
all
test
right.
it?
Okay, let's test it.
And then after that, we can decide.
All right, cool.
So I want you to finish off the sentence.
Okay.
With your writing, with your pen. Because we are heading towards Valentine's and... it's known for other things also. So, a disabled person walks towards a closed bathroom. What happens next?
Just as they're approaching a disabled person does what?
Walks towards a closed bathroom.
Okay.
What happens next?
He walks in, and as he walks in, discovers that he's in the ladies' bathroom.
There we go. I think that was good. That was a twist. He didn't find a woman in the bathroom, but he walked into the ladies' bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've done Wake Up Woman.
Yeah.
You said 3 years now.
It's been 3 years.
What's 2017 to the future for Linda Yende?
My next book is coming up in the next week or so, actually.
Oh.
It's called Dear Uncle Al.
Okay.
What's been happening in the last almost 2 years now is I've got an article that I write for Move Magazine. It's a weekly article. And those articles are basically letters that get sent to me saying, you know, dear Uncle Al, I'm in such and such a situation, blah, blah, blah. You know, how would you suggest I tackle this situation? And... yeah, those Q&As I've sort of compiled those, and they are my next book. It's ready. It's almost done. Everything is done. The cover's done. The content is pretty much done. I'm just ready to get it out.
Okay. You don't have the launch date and all that?
No. You know what? I'm going to have a sort of soft launch first, because what's happened is a lot of people have pre-ordered the book up front, which is quite nice. I'm grateful for that. So they're going to get their delivery book, their books delivered. Their books are going to have the word launch edition on the cover. So the first batch is going to be the launch edition. And what's going to happen is when I announce the date of the launch event, then everybody who has a launch edition book gets in for free at the event.
Oh.
Which is pretty cool.
It is.
Are you the one that decided on Uncle Al, as you are affectionately known? How did that happen?
You know what? It happened.
It happened.
Look, in a way, it's one of those where, I mean, I love LL Cool J. He's one of my favorite hip hop artists as well.
You gotta lick your lips.
Except for the licking lips thing.
Wow, guys.
Man, who likes that?
I
want to take a poll from the ladies. Who actually likes the licking of the lips?
Because it's actually annoying.
I find it so just creepy.
It's annoying.
Yeah. Anyway, but it just became that name. And then all of a sudden, somebody started calling me uncle.
Oh.
And I was like, but uncle sounds old. Just can't you just add like L at the end? Then it sounds cooler, like Uncle L. You know? Then it's like Uncle L, feature of the funk. You know? It's
ooh.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Records are recorded minus all the junk. It's cool, you know? So and that was it. From that point on, I became Uncle L. And it kind of stuck. I liked it. Which is rare. It's very rare to actually be given a nickname and like it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. That's who I became.
Your presence has been absolutely phenomenal.
Is it time already?
Stratospheric. Amazing. I have so many other questions, actually.
Man.
I
can't believe it's time already.
Linda, keep tweeting, keep Instagramming, keep making that Alu money, you know, paid money.
Oh,
keep making this book money.
And go back to that blog.
Go back to that blog.
No, but
go back to that blog.
You will find things to talk about. Just buy the damn book.
But find other things to talk about on the blog.
You know what?
You're a very insightful being.
I'm actually going to start a travel blog because I've been traveling so much.
Yes, yeah.
I've been traveling so much. I'm going to start a traveling blog.
There we go.
Put down all the things that I've been doing with my travels. I think that's going to be exciting.
Great.
We are 20-something. Follow us on Twitter at JNG_live. The Love Monkey, the other Love Monkey is in here, but he sent a voice note. So we're going to end it like this with his voice, Brown Dash, Puffin Puss, and Londi.
Yeah, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to come back here fresh and ready to do this next week.
Ooh, okay. Play
that. Right. Hello, guys. Hello, my love bunnies. Listen, I'm sorry I couldn't make it in today. I had to go to court so someone could go to jail for the rest of their lives. The things I do are that important. Just playing. I hope you guys have a fantastic show. I'm sorry I missed this one, but I promise I will be back next week. Shout out to Dr. Linda Yende, or Mr. Linda Yende, who is an author. I feel like authors should be doctors at some point in their lives. But anyway, me just being random. Anyway, I hope you guys have a fantastic show. See you guys next week. CliffCentral.com